Today's devotion is titled, Mary Placed Him in a Manger. Up until I retired, I looked forward to Christmas, especially the last day we broke up from work. I knew I would have nearly 2 weeks to relax and enjoy the many activities that Christmas brings with it, especially to join with the young children opening their Christmas Day presents. But there was one small snag to it. I still needed to buy presents for my close friends. Being at work, I often left it till the last minute. Yet on each shopping trip, I never stopped to ask the question, what is the purpose of buying and giving presents at Christmas? Recently, we asked a 12-year-old child if he had heard of Jesus. He hesitantly said, no. In Great Britain 50 years ago, I would not have needed to ask this question. Children were taught in school how Jesus came to earth and was born by Mary in a lowly stable. Then at 33 years of age, how he died on a cross to pay the price of man's sins. This indeed was God's gift to man. So, we should celebrate giving presents at Christmas to remember God's gift to us. The songwriter wrote these words. In lowly birth he came to earth, God's Christmas gift of love. Men turned away, nor bade him say, the Saviour from above. Christ is God's Christmas gift to you. He died, was resurrected too. He came to give you life anew. Believe, that's all you need to do. Oh, how I wish we could put Christ back into Christmas. The birth of Jesus is recorded in Luke 2:1-7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no room available for them. Notice what we read in Luke 2:7. She gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there were no guest room available for them. This must have been a very stressful time for Mary and Joseph. First to find nowhere to lodge, but then to discover Mary was about to give birth. She gave birth to a child that was not conceived through Joseph, but by the Holy Spirit. They were away from home and without anywhere suitable to give birth. What a humble beginning for Jesus. Another songwriter penned these words. From the squalor of a borrowed stable, by the Spirit and a virgin's faith, to the anguish and the shame of scandal, came the Saviour of the human race. It was my privilege some years back to go on a pilgrimage to Israel. We visited many sites which were connected with the stories from the Bible. The tour guide would quote the Bible passages connected with each site we were visiting. One of the places we visited was the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem, where it is believed was where Jesus was born. We approached the entrance of the church to see most of the lofty doorway had been sealed up with large stones during the time of the Crusaders, leaving just a small, low, narrow entrance on the right-hand side. The tour guide told us the small opening was to stop stray animals, like donkeys, from entering into the church. But he also made another profound statement. He described how Jesus, though he was just a baby, was indeed the Son of God. Visitors, when approaching the entrance to where the Son of God was born, have to bend to enter the church. By bowing, as we enter, we are humbly bowing in homage to Jesus, the King of Kings. It is important to understand why Jesus was born into such lowly surroundings, and then to read in the Bible how he was rejected and badly treated and crucified when he grew up. The lowly birth of Jesus was prophesied many years before Jesus was born in Isaiah 7 verse 14, which says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and bring forth a son and will call him Emmanuel." He was also prophesied in Micah 5 verse 2. "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the class of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times." The sufferings Jesus was to endure while on earth is prophesied in Isaiah 53:2-6. "He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hid their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquities of us all." In the New Testament, we discover other reasons why Jesus was born into such lowly and humble surroundings and to lead such a life of trials here on earth. We read in Philippians 2:5-8, "Christ Jesus, who being the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross." We as God's children are encouraged to follow Jesus' example. We read in Hebrews 2 verse 9, "But we do see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a little while, now crowned with glory and honour, because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone." The apostle continues in Hebrews 2:17-18, "For this reason he has to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted." Jesus wanted to identify with the life we are experiencing here on earth. Now in heaven, he can go to his Father and plead on our behalf, for God to undertake and help us in our trials we face each day. Let us go back to Philippians 2:9-11 and read how God had promoted Jesus as a result of what he experienced on earth, and how he understood our many trials. "Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We can then ask the question, what is Jesus doing, sat on his throne with his Father? The book of Hebrews explains Jesus' role as our high priest. He is there with his Father pleading our needs. We read in Hebrews 4:14-16, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has entered into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. The apostle continues to say in Hebrews 10:19-25, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Jesus, while here on earth, took that lowly place, even to give up his life to pay for our freedom. If we are willing to invite Jesus into our lives, we can know that freedom in this life and assurance of eternal life. Because Jesus was willing to take that lowly place, God rewarded his Son with the highest place, seated with his Father in heaven as our high priest. We likewise are encouraged to follow his example, becoming lowly and humble while here on earth. We are encouraged to follow Jesus' example, as we read in Ephesians 5:1. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the ways of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. We also read in 1 Peter 2:21-22, to this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. We are encouraged to take that humble place like Jesus, as we are reminded in James 4:10. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. The Apostle Paul reminds us of that place in honour in heaven in Ephesians 2:6-7. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Jesus is not only acting as our high priest in heaven, but he is there on our behalf preparing for another big event. He promised us a place of privilege in heaven with him as a reward for our servitude and humble life here on earth. We read first in John 14:1-3, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house had many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Jesus is preparing a place in heaven for us to go and be with him. Heaven is a place of joy and peace, free from all the trials of life here on earth. While living on this earth, there is an invitation for each one of us to meet and have a personal relationship with Jesus the Saviour and bow in homage, as the songwriter says. No room for the baby in Bethlehem's inn, only a cattle shed. No room on the earth for the dear Son of God, nowhere to lay his head. Only a cross did they give to my Lord, only a borrowed tomb. Today he is seeking a place in your heart. Will you still say to him, no room? And our response is, O Lord, in my heart there's a welcome for thee. Gladly I now would say, come in, blessed Saviour, my Lord and my life, henceforth would own thy sway. Long has there waited and long knocked in vain outside my heart's closed door. O cleanse me from sin, then, dear Lord, enter in and dwell there forevermore. Let us conclude by listening to a song by Peter Townend, which I referred to in my devotion, which portrays the life journey of Jesus on earth, which opens with these words: from the squalor of a borrowed stable, by the Spirit and a virgin's faith, to the anguish and the shame of scandal came the Saviour of the human race. But the skies were filled with the praise of heaven. Shepherds listened as the angels tell of the gift of God come down to man at the dawning of Emmanuel.
He was punished for.